Right, so on this week's episode of Far From Ideal, we're talking about horror and comedy. I think a couple of films that I saw recently, mm-hmm. which are very, very recent, which both come from people who have previously been in not necessarily like stand-up comedy or anything. I mean, actually, two of them sketch comedians. So one of them is Y2K, okay. which is Kyle Mooney. The other one's Weapons, which is Zach Cregger. And then I guess a third filmmaker as well in recent times as well, who I don't know if you would ever really class him as a comedian, definitely is funny, has done funny roles and things, is Osgood Perkins. So Long Legs and recently The Monkey as well.
When we briefly discussed what we were talking about yesterday, the only two that I had seen any films are the two that you didn't mention just now.
Right. Oh, so Jordan Peele Jordan as well, Peele. Coming from a sketch comedy background as well. Yeah, 100%.
And Edgar Wright was the other one.
Edgar Wright, who again started out not comedy, like, but spaced.
But sketch, yeah, more sketch.
Is a, well, I mean, spaced is kind of a sitcom, but it's, again, it's what he does later in his career, right? It's genre bending and it's using the conventions of different genres in different ways.
I loved Spaced.
Yeah, same. So he's made horror films subsequently, though. So different kinds of horror films as well. So you've got Last Night in Soho and Shaun of the Dead, which
couldn't be more classic.
Classic. And very much horror comedy.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas Last Night in Soho is not.
Okay. I haven't seen Last Night in Soho.
Definitely not a comedy horror film. Okay. It's a ghost film.
Ah.
And I thought there's loads of really, really good stuff in that film in the setup.
Mm.
I mean, how many films do we say this about, right?
Maybe that's what the title of the podcast should be.
Yeah, they got the first half right. Yeah. Weapons has been accused of that as well. Really? I disagree. Okay. I like the end of Weapons.
Interesting.
I was actually listening to an interview. Have you seen Weapons yet?
No. Is it the kind of film you think I was going to ask you, should I watch it?
100%. And I think anything I say about it is probably going to spoil it. Okay. But there is an element of it which maps onto his own life.
Oh, wow.
There's a few elements that it's a very personal, weird horror film in a lot of ways. But there's a few things that map onto distinct experiences of his own life, which are quite traumatic.
Okay. I can feel this tension rising from the moment you said anything I say is going to spoil it, but, and I'm like, what's
yeah, I'm not going to say anything about it. Yeah. I'm just going to allude to it. Go and see Weapons though. It's really good.
And definitely see it in the cinema.
If you can. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Actually, you should watch it at home.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Because there are jump scares and it will scare you.
Yeah.
Home release in whatever form that is. Top of Netflix, right? When it comes out.
Top of Netflix.
But what I found so interesting about the disparity between, so Weapons, did you see Barbarian a few years ago?
No.
So that was his first film and that was much lauded. And then I think Jordan Peele was bidding for the rights on Weapons.
Wow.
And I think it went for, not to Jordan Peele in the end, and it went for like 35 million. There's something very interesting about comedy people moving into the horror world because very often they seem to have a really good sense of pacing and timing. Mm-hmm. And hitting beats in a way that you have to do in comedy, obviously.
It's set up and payoff, right? It's the same mechanic.
Exactly. The mechanical stuff is so similar. And even when you translate that across to pure horror, moving out of any kind of comedy horror. So Weapons and Barbarian both do it very effectively with Zach Cregger. I mean, everything that Jordan Peele does, it's so perfectly paced and perfectly pitched and tonally perfect.
Mm.
But then I saw Y2K, which is Kyle Mooney's recent film. I don't know. Do you know much about Kyle Mooney?
No.
He was an SNL guy
until
relatively recently. I'm pretty sure he's off the show now. He has a very unusual comedic pacing and a very unusual comedic rhythm.
Okay.
And I wonder if there's just an element of someone who's so odd in his rhythms that not translating across to horror so well.
So yeah, it's a different kind of comedy.
Exactly. Yeah, because there's a section in Y2K where so it's effectively a big setup of about half hour 40 minutes with a nerdy kid who's interested in a girl at a house party. It's 1999. In the background, the idea of Y2K being set up to some extent.
Yeah.
Big turn. Robots start killing everyone. And then we're following him through this sort of dystopian situation to try and stop the robots after that point.
Nice.
Right? But yeah, so, I mean, like, the structure kind of works quite well. The pacing is all off. We have 40 minutes of this setup with all of these characters that we then kill in 5 minutes.
What? So it's not drawn out. It's no...
No. And we kill all the most interesting characters as well. All the best actors. All the most interesting just characters.
You couldn't afford them for any longer.
I mean, quite possibly, yeah. I mean, there's some really talented young actors in particular in this. One of them from Reservation Dogs, I think. Eduardo Franco. Yeah, he's good.
Rachel Zegler.
She's okay in it. She's eclipsed by some of the other kids, I would say. Mm. Julian Bailey Dennison, who was in Hunt for the Wilder People. He was a young kid in that.
Yeah.
And he's phenomenal. And they kill him off way too early.
Mm.
And then in the second half, you have Fred Durst comes in.
Yeah, I just saw that on there. I was like, what?
Yeah, and he's totally wasted. You can see that he's got the chops to do something far better than this. And it's a real shame, because Fred Durst just coming in as himself is a funny gag.
Yeah.
And doing something more with him.
Yeah, what a waste.
It really was a waste. It was such a shame.
I have to say, as a total aside, you know when we were talking with Ali about Bond and you suggested Jeremy Irons as a like Bond gone bad, and I was like, meh, could he do it though? And you were like, of course he could. When I watched Dungeons and Dragons with Jeremy Irons, I was like, oh yeah, he could definitely have done that.
Yeah, he can swing for the fences. I was talking to my friend about him the other day about how good he was in Brideshead.
Mm.
Brideshead Revisits. Like, he's done it all and can do it all, right? Yeah, he's that kind of actor, you know.
Okay, so don't bother with Y2K.
Really don't bother with Y2K. It is a massive waste of anyone's time. And it's a shame as well, because I like Carl Mooney. I think he wrote a film before this. Yeah, okay, so he co-wrote a film and started in a film before this, which I think was a big flop, called Brigsby Bear.
Yeah, and it looks like Jonah Hill is on as a producer on here as well.
What, on Y2K?
Yeah. It is interesting that, like, the comedy horror flip, because I remember in the early days of trying to understand screenplays, a lot of the teachings on it were like, look at this script, this scene, and look at how it's written. If it's the same scene, it's the same actions. Look at how it is if it's horror, if it's comedy, if it's action.
Yeah.
And the closest are, I mean, I guess action, sometimes you do have a similar thing, but it's definitely comedy and horror are weirdly the closest. But then there's also something in the release of it, like why we go and see comedy or horror. It's like to be these extremes. And we've talked about it before. What was it we were saying about comedy? I think it was Ollie Park was saying about how, because he's a horror writer and director, and was saying about how your aim with a comedy film is to make it the funniest film you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And your aim with a horror film is the scariest film you've ever seen. And that is about the feeling that you have staying afterwards, whereas you don't have that with others. You don't have that with, like, what's the most action film? Like, what's the feeling of seeing an action film? You know, you're not going to stay excited afterwards.
It's a very measurable reaction as well.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
In a way that action or any drama, anything else, isn't beyond awards, right?
Yeah, and even then.
You say that for Oscar bait drama films to some extent.
Yeah.
But, comedy, you laugh.
Yes.
You can tell in a theatre that an audience enjoyed that moment.
Yeah.
Horror, you jump out of your seat, or you gasp, or, you know, that there is a physiological reaction that you're having, which you don't have that in the same way when Optimus Prime destroys a building.
Yeah. Right? Doesn't last.
It doesn't last in the same kind of way, and it doesn't affect you in the same kind of way.
And you can't recount it in the same way. You can't then tell it again in the same way that you can with horror-y. Did I just invent?
You've created a portmanteau there. Yeah. I mean, some people genuinely, I mean, like, for sure, like, action is their thing, and they engage with action in a in a way where they can potentially go, oh, wasn't it cool when Rambo did this?
Yeah,
X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And it is, it's fun, and it's entertaining. But there is a, and I hesitate to use the word deeper. Because that makes it, I'm not trying to qualify it as like better, worse kind of thing, but there is a more sort of primal maybe reaction that you have to horror and comedy specifically.
It's kind of tribal as well.
Yeah. Because I mean, and it's better, well, you say about like going and seeing certain things with an audience.
Yeah.
An experience to be shared very often if it's a really good horror or really good comedy.
Yeah, a comedy film that makes you laugh when you're watching it on your own is already much better than one that you have to see in the cinema.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And you see it around horror films as well with the kind of community that horror
attracts.
Demands and attracts. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because it's definitely the genre that has the most... indie, guerrilla, like small time, like from all time films out there, like that. You've got all of these different movements of horror filmmaking. You know, you've got giallo, you've got trauma, you've got weird little subsections of the horror genre, which people really engage with in a cult-like way.
What's interesting about what you were saying about Y2K, not to go back to that, is that...
Oh, no, go for it, yeah.
The fact that the offbeat comedy, because there are also so many different types of comedy, right? The slapstick, the more kind of dialogue heavy or situational, whatever it is. It's surprising that an unusual paced comedy wouldn't then translate to an unusually paced horror.
True, yeah, because you would think that you would be... that you would be hitting this... I mean, I guess one of the issues with Y2K is that it's not trying to be a straight horror necessarily, but it's not really funny particularly. Like you would potentially describe it as like a comedy horror adjacent kind of, it's one of those sort of like genre hybrids. The thing that I've seen recently that straddles that hybrid genre the best, while also firmly you would call it a horror film really, is The Monkey, which is the Osgood Perkins one. Which is...
I always get this confused with... Oh, it's Monkey Man, isn't it? The Dev Patel.
Right, yeah. No,
not the same.
But yeah. No, so his last film was Long Legs, which was quite straight down the line horror.
Yeah.
This is funny.
Oh, okay.
But it's funny in a way that there's a silliness to the deaths that you have.
What's the premise of The Monkey again? Is it like a Three Wishes thing?
Sort of. I mean, so there's a toy monkey
with
the clapping cymbals.
That's what I remember from the trailer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's toy monkey with clapping cymbals, and once you wind it up to get its cymbals clapping, it's never going to kill you.
Oh.
It's always going to kill someone.
But not you.
You can't tell it who to kill. It will just kill someone, but it won't be you.
So why do people do it? Why does anyone wind it up?
Well, okay. Do you want me to spoil it for you or?
I do, but I don't know if any listeners will want
that. Okay. Well, so big spoiler alert, because I really like this film. A lot of people haven't necessarily latched onto it in as much of a way, but I thought this film was great. And I preferred it to Long Legs. Even.
Yeah.
The film is set up with Theo James playing twins. So it starts off where they're kids and one of the twins is quite extensively bullied.
Okay.
And the other twin is a bit of a bully.
Okay.
And so the twin that is bullied winds it up after having been bullied by his brother and some other people as a kid. And the monkey...
kills the twin.
Starts beating its thing. And no. His mum has a cerebral hemorrhage.
Whoa.
So heavy, and it's horrible.
Oh my God.
And then we, you know, in the future, Theo James is trying to figure out why these people are... he's going back to the town that he grew up in.
Classic.
Because the people that had raised him... He's going with his son as well.
Okay.
People that had raised him,
yeah,
his aunt and uncle, I think, had raised them. And the uncle is played by Osgood Perkins, the director, as well.
Okay. Yeah, because I saw Kyle Mooney was also in Y2K.
Yes, yeah, he pops up in it as well. Yeah. He plays a white guy with dreads.
Wow.
Yeah, who's like perma-stoned and it, very silly. And I didn't find it funny for a second as well.
Funny.
But anyway, yeah. Yeah. You're not Gary Oldman, mate. You're no Gary Oldman. So he comes to this town and his aunt has died in mysterious... Because people, when the monkey kills them, it's always mysterious circumstances, right? Sure. And on his way back to the town, he's seeing these horrible deaths happen. So there's one which is hilarious where this woman is about to dive into a swimming pool and like an electric cable goes onto the swimming pool. So the swimming pool is electrified. She dives into the pool and she explodes in a cloud of blood.
Oh my god.
That is so ridiculous. And so like, and you know, you see it about to happen, you're like, oh no, this is going to be tragic. And then it's so over the top and so silly that it's like, oh my god.
And it's enjoyable to watch that.
I mean, I found it funny as well, like, because it's so silly, it's so big,
because it's such a surprise, right? And that's the whole point, is going back to like comedy and horror, it has to surprise you for it to land.
It hits that beat where it's like, I know what's going to happen. I know she's going to die, but she dies in such an over-the-top way. And that happens repeatedly throughout, right? Where people would die in a very over-the-top way. Mm. So he goes to the town. He finds out that his aunt has died under mysterious monkey-related circumstances.
With a symbol shoved up her nose.
Yeah. Well, he's in the house and he is with like a real estate agent, I think, or like someone who's dealing with the will or something. They're looking around the house. They open a cupboard. And there's like a shotgun that shoots this woman.
Yeah.
And again, she basically explodes in a cloud of blood.
Okay.
And so he eventually realizes that his twin brother is still in town and is twisting the monkey like all the time. Okay. And people are dying around him because he's trying to kill the brother.
Right.
Because the brother has, you know, the brother who's twisting the monkey thing all the time is enraged that he killed their mother. Right. As children, right? So, But and by the end, you know, he's twisted this monkey so many times that this plane's crashing and the entire, it's just twisted.
Everyone's
like, everything is just, it really, it just keeps dialing up and it just keeps heightening. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've probably talked about the monkey more than Y2K because I like the monkey.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't like Y2K particularly. And then weapons again. I don't want to talk, like,
No, don't spoil it. I will watch it. It does sound good. And I saw, I really liked the trailer.
Trailer's great. Yeah. Marketing's great.
And it didn't give me nightmares like Smile 2 did. So
that's a very different world of horror.
It's that just that bit. It's literally that bit. It was like 2 years ago that I watched that with you. And it's the bit where he just appears in the oh my god. So horrible. Yeah,
still haven't watched Smile 2 because, I mean, those films...
What even happens in it?
What's the premise?
I get that it's like the smile is like the bad whatever that's following them around, right?
So the smile entity possesses a victim after a traumatic event which causes them to see these hallucinations of the smile happening and then kill themselves in front of a witness...
Who
passes the curse on. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. That feels logical and terrifying.
I do know the ending to Smile 2. Haven't seen it. Big spoiler. The main character in Smile 2 is a pop star.
Right.
And I think that the ending of Smile 2 is that she kills herself in front of everyone.
That's a good ending.
It's a good ending.
That is a good ending.
I mean, they're supposed to be very good horror films. They're a bit too scary for me.
Yeah, the trailer was too scary for me. Like, I definitely can't watch the film.
It's just, it's jump scare central, that sort of thing.
And going back to Jordan Peele, obviously Get Out was brilliant. And I loved Nope as well. And a lot of the time people will say that Us wasn't that good. And I think that it was maybe slightly guilty of trying to do too many things. But I still think the premise was really good.
Still not seen Us.
Definitely worth watching. Like, it's still better than lots of films.
Yeah. You're judging it against a different metric, right?
Exactly. Like, you can't judge it against Get Out. It's like the second album thing.
Yeah.
He wrote something crazy like 85 versions of Get Out. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
But Us, it's not really one that you rewatch just because it kind of all hinges on, like, understanding what's going on. It's like a twist.
Right. Film. Okay.
So I'm not going to spoil that, but it's good and it's really well acted, and it's the comedy that's there in Get Out is just that brutal satire, and in Us less so. There's more kind of ridiculousness of the kind of deaths that happen. And then I think that's why, you know, we talked about it before. I think that's why people were disappointed with Nope, was because it was such a move away.
Sure.
But for me, I thought it was fantastic. It had really narrowed.
It's a totally different genre.
It's a totally different genre. Tone.
It's horror, sort of, still.
It's like a monster movie.
Exactly.
It's sci-fi.
It's doing something so different.
And there's all the kind of metatextual film about filmmaking and stunts and photography.
Racism in the history of cinema.
How anchored it is from like the birth of cinema, of the horse.
Mm.
And this kind of legacy of it. And yeah, and anything with Daniel Kaluuya in also.
Yeah. And I mean, he's an actor as well. That's, has he done anything straight comedy? I'm trying to think, because he seems to me like someone who's highly capable of doing either.
He's in a short film about two comedians that end up having to share a room or something.
Okay.
It's kind of rom-com buddy movie, not horror. It's not horror at all. It's a comedy. I can't remember what it's called now.
So I'm just looking up his career and immediately...
Two Single Beds, that was it.
Johnny English Reborn, he was in.
Was he?
Wow. Apparently so. Very, very early part of his career. I don't know if he... But then did he act in that, or did he... Oh, no, he's an actor in that.
I didn't see Queen and Slim.
And then obviously Skins, that kind of era, like his early career. All I'm trying to say with thinking about him is he's someone who's very capable of hitting horror or comedic or dramatic beats, and some of the best. So you've got, in Weapons, actually, you've got Julia Garner and Josh Brolin are the two of the leads of Weapons, who are both very effective. I mean, there's comedic beats in Weapons as well. Not big ones, but there's, you know, you have good actors. They elevate the cinema of whatever genre. This is a big hot take, but...
Just looking at Daniel Kaluuya's credits, he was in that Mitchell and Webb look, so he's definitely done...
Right. So in his early career, he was doing some stuff around the comedy kind of world. Never, you'd never think of him as a comedy actor, but someone who is very competent and capable of doing either, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What's interesting about Spaced, going back to Edgar Wright, is that he really experimented in a lot of the episodes with things that then later turned into
films.
So like Shaun of the Dead, Simon Pegg's been up all night doing speed and playing video games, and he thinks that zombies are attacking.
Wait, is he doing speed, what, in Shaun of the Dead or in Spaced?
No, in Spaced.
Right, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, because Spaced is a little more counterculture. Than any of his cinematic work, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're just going to the pub in Spaced. They're not...
Mostly.
They're not going to a rave, like... Yeah.
They go to a rave.
Sorry, in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, the rave episode is great in Spaced.
Yeah.
With Tyres, the bike messenger, who just constantly hears a beat when the phone rings. And
it's been a long time since I watched Spaced, you know. I should probably sit down and rewatch that at some stage, because it is a template for his film career, right?
An editing style.
Oh, yeah, of course. That sort of quick, punchy.
Really quick.
On the beat, right? Obviously, he'd made that music video, which turned into Baby Driver later as well.
Yeah.
He's very, very rhythmically. And again, this is something that we talked about with all of these directors, all these different types of films, is there is a rhythmic, pacing, beat element to horror and comedy that's essential to, I mean, it's all about...
timing.
There you go. Yeah. That's the one.
I'll stretch it out in the...
Wait, what is it about? but it really is, right? And it's the big commonality that those two genres share, and it makes sense that people would translate across both and enjoy making both, right?
Yeah. Who is it who plays Statham in Green Wing?
Oh.
You know who I mean, with the tash. He was in Friday Night Dinner.
Mark Heap.
So having watched Spaced quite young, probably too young, and then Green Wing later and all the other things, when I went back to watch Spaced a long time later, he was, because he's so young in it and he's playing such a, it's actually not that different in character, but he's the like brooding artist that one of the other characters is attracted to. And I just couldn't get over the fact that it's Mark Heap.
Have you watched Jam?
Jam.
It's a Chris Morris sketch show from the 90s, which is based on a radio show called Blue Jam.
Oh.
So the soundtrack of Jam is like Aphex Twin type electronica, yeah, slow. Yeah, yeah. Weird, you know, selected ambient words. It's not all
Brass Eye vibe.
It's not Brass Eye vibe at all.
Oh.
Like, it's Chris Morris, but it's slow, okay, and weird, and it's... A lot of it is with a blue filter on at various different points. A lot of it is actually physically slowed down in terms, wow, of the speed of some of the sketches. Like there's a sketch where there's a few Doctor sketches, which is just, it's probably in half speed.
Interesting.
And it's bizarre. I mean, Mark Heap has a character in that, though, that I will always remember, which is him going into a store and pointing a gun at the cashier and saying, I want 20 cigarettes. And the cashier's like, oh, okay, here you go, and puts them on the counter. And then he puts the money on the counter. He's like, there's the money. Take it. Put it in the till. Like, it's just like, yeah, it's all this weird, weird, like, it's a very, I would recommend Jam highly, but it's a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot.
As a sketch show, it's a lot to sit and watch.
That's kind of what you want, though. Quite traumatizing. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's on the border of horror.
Yeah,
I would say. Like, Jam is probably the closest thing I've ever seen to like a comedy horror sketch show.
Interesting.
Very strange.
I was just looking up. It says that it had no credits, but it just had the website address at the end, which was also probably pretty scary for 2000.
Wildly ahead of its time. Piece of anything, like piece of media, I guess. Like,
Jam received a mixed reaction from critics, with views ranging from the most radical and original television program broadcast in years to accusations of it being adolescent, sick, and self-indulgent.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Yeah, because it is disgusting, weird, taboo topics.
They had complaints.
I mean, in the same way that Brass Eye would do, in the same way that those sorts of shows would do, but in a very different form of presentation, and a much, much darker form of presentation. Like, it's not, you know, Brass Eye is more panorama than it is the 9 o'clock news, right?
Yeah, just reading some of the sketch names.
The episode names, right? So the episode names of Jam, the six episodes.
Chemotherapy wig. Fucking hell.
Astonishing Sod Ape.
Yeah.
Arrested for Copying Dogs.
Born Dead Through Your Own Arse.
And then Born Dead Through Your Own Arse. Yeah, it's bleak.
So between that and Weapons, where would you say I should...
Go and watch Weapons.
Go and watch Weapons, yeah.
Yeah, if you're really, like, if you're in a mood to, like, just be a bit upset, but also, like, kind of, like, find some of it funny.
Is it like, I need a cry, but I can't quite get there? It's like, Jam.
I don't know if you would cry at Jam, or if you would just...
just despair a little.
Yeah, agape at it. Like, just aghast.
The time in my life when I would have been in the right situation to watch something like that, as in, like, getting back at 4 a.m, has passed.
It's that kind of show.
It feels like that tone of, like...
Yeah, it's I think the radio show may even have played late night and been specifically, like, geared towards people coming back on a come down. Yeah, it was very much that kind of... Because, I mean, the radio show was like, like mid to late 90s, I think. Ambient music, weird sketches. I think some of the audio for the TV show is just pulled straight from the radio show. And it's just like weird short stories almost over visuals.
Oh, weird.
It's strange. But I love it. So great. There you go.
Yeah. Some recommendations there.
Yeah, there you go. Like and subscribe.
I love how like and subscribe is turning into a like get out of jail free of like how to
end this. Done.